From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. It has got to be tough to be Twitter right now. It's a platform that works for people who want to get real-time updates, but not a platform that grows its number of users, at least not recently. It's worth asking if Twitter's narrow scope is a feature, not a bug. Either way, investors seem to be sharpening their teeth. This week, we've got new numbers from the company. Wedbush's Michael Pachter is here with the big takeaways.
Monthly active users declined sequentially from 307 to 305 million. So that's not a good sign. We had a couple of world events in November and December. We had the Paris attacks,
yep,
and we had the San Bernardino shootings. And those are the kinds of events where, you know, as tragic as they are, a lot of people ran to Twitter to figure out what was going on in real time. And if you remember, you know, Facebook made a big deal about this. People were able to post that they were safe. Twitter, the same thing. So, you know, I would have expected that you would have seen an uptick in users, and you didn't. And I think investors are not going to like that.
Yeah, let me ask you this. The company saw its stock fall to record lows this week. It popped a little bit on this new feature that, again, feels a little bit like Facebook, the ability to use algorithms to surface things that users want to see instead of just the reverse chronological order. Is it just possible that the size of this company is what it's going to be?
Oh, it's possible. I think that with different strategy and very likely different leadership, it can be a much bigger company.
Really?
Yeah, there's no reason why the entire combined television watching and internet surfing audience of the planet isn't going to find information on Twitter as well. So you go to, you know, the television to be entertained, you go to the movies to be entertained, you go to the internet to shop and discover things. You should be able to discover all of that on Twitter. And the problem is that people who don't use it have no idea how to use it and have no idea why they should use it. And the people who do use it aren't really very good at, you know, getting out there and spreading the word. There's not as much virality out of Twitter as there is with other social media services. That's incumbent upon the company to change.
Michael Pachter is Managing Director for Equity Research at Wedbush Securities. Michael, thank you very much.
It's a pleasure.
Another tech company has given us some earnings numbers. Tesla, the electric car maker, reported less revenue than anticipated, but the company's stock spiked briefly at the news that Tesla's global deliveries will rise as much as 78% this year. Taking the exit from the electric cars onto the twists and turns of the regulatory road to self-driving vehicles, there was news this week that the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration has told Alphabet that, yes, under federal law, artificially intelligent computer systems can technically be considered drivers, seen as a win for getting more autonomous vehicles on the road. The future, apparently, is soon. If online security experts were asked to make a zombie movie, they would probably cast the encryption debate as head of the undead. This week, that debate staggers onward. Lawmakers introduced legislation in Congress designed to stop some states from their own legislative efforts to weaken encryption. Laws in New York and California were aimed at blocking the sales of phones with strong encryption tools. Well, today, there's a new survey of modern encryption tools released by the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard. It looks at 865 hardware and software encryption products from around the world. This is actually a kind of copy of a survey done back in 1999 when, you may be shocked to learn, another encryption debate was raging. Bruce Schneier is an author of the new survey and a fellow at the Berkman Center. Hi, Bruce. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Why are you recreating this study from 1999? Is it just because of a similar encryption debate under President Bill Clinton? Is that what we're talking about here?
Back in 1999, there were debates about export, that if we export a cryptography to foreign countries, there would be all these bad people getting access to it. And the survey back then showed that there were hundreds of products outside the U.S. We're having a similar debate today. We are debating putting backdoors in U.S. products in an effort to keep the bad guys from using encryption. And what this repeated survey shows is that there are hundreds of products not under U.S. law that the bad guys can easily use.
Do you see analogs here with the war on drugs?
You know, I don't. This is the difference of bits versus atoms. Drugs have to be moved physically from place to place. The logistics of the narcotics industry is enormous. These are websites. You know, you go to the website, you download the software, you are distributing it around the world easily. It's such a different model.
But you get why I'm asking, right? It seems like one of the takeaways here is that it doesn't matter too much whether or not governments try to regulate against the use of these products. They seem to always exist one way or another.
What we're saying here is that any regulation is necessarily domestic and the market's very international. That it's naively international. You tomorrow can sell a piece of software into any country in the world. As long as they have a credit card or a PayPal account, right, you're done. And that makes internet commerce, especially entirely digital, very, very different and hard to control.
Bruce Schneier is a fellow at the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard University. Bruce, thank you very much.
Hey, thank you.
And you know Senator Bernie Sanders beat Hillary Clinton in this week's New Hampshire primary. What you may not know is that the self-described Democratic Socialist from Vermont appears to be edging ahead of Clinton in fundraising out of Silicon Valley. Apparently, Sanders is getting more new donations while Clinton's are flat. Strange, perhaps, because Clinton is seen as spending a lot more time there, glad-handing. Sanders, on the other hand, might have a better strategy and a Silicon Valley idea: crowdfunding. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.